Tonight and open up to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. We continue our series, Walking Wisely, a study in Proverbs. This is our third lesson. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, King Solomon wrote these words, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity." Let's pray. Lord, bless now our Bible study tonight. Speak to our hearts through your word and by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask and pray your help. Amen. So, these last 2 weeks, we've looked at some of the other scriptures that God allowed for Solomon to write. I want to just talk about a few things tonight with regards to the Proverbs. But I kind of want to start with who Solomon was and the credentials of Solomon. So, for instance, a person's credentials are not necessarily where they went to school and the jobs that they had in the world in which we live. Well, sometimes those things are important. That doesn't really always tell you everything about them. But when you think of credentials and your reputation, it's mostly what people think about you or your work, what you do. And follow what I'm saying? Understand that? So, for instance, if you're a contractor and you want to drum up business as a contractor, you can put an ad in the paper that you're a carpenter, all right, and that's one way to drum up business, but probably a better way is to have done a few jobs for the people to have been pleased with the jobs that you do and to recommend you to other people to have you do the work. The word of mouth is a greater credential than if you handed someone a business card. If you're a doctor, you'd certainly want to be well spoken of. And I always felt bad for the doctor. I don't know if he's still in the area, and I don't mean to make fun of him or anything like that, but his name was Dr. Klutz. And that would have been a difficult doctor for me to go to, Dr. Klutz. And when you think of a Klutz, you know, that's not the person you want operating on you, right? So, I think I would have changed my name to Dr. Klutz, something like that. But anyhow, he's probably a fine doctor, all right? But anyhow, you understand the point of it. Like, for instance, here's another example. One of the things, so last year I got involved in selling my mother-in-law's house, but I was not involved at the time they chose the realtor. And, but I've learned through that, having never really, well, I sold our first house Shelley and I lived in. We sold that house in a day. We already had a buyer. We didn't even need a realtor. But the first thing, next time I sell, like my mom's condo is going to go up for sale probably in the next year or two. The first thing I would ask the realtor is this. They came and they wanted to sell my house, and if I ever sell my house, this would be the first question. How many houses have you sold in the last 6 months? Because there are a lot of realtors out there. And a lot of realtors in our area, they're part-time realtors. They have other jobs. They're school teachers. They do this, they do that, and they do it part-time. But I would ask them, how many houses have you personally sold in the last 6 months? And why would you do that? Because it would give you a good idea of what kind of a salesperson they were, right? And so that's their credential. Well, here's another thing with regards to people. And I usually don't like to use my kids as an example, but she's not here, so I'm going to use Bethany as an example. So when Bethany went to college, she went to college to be a school teacher. And Bethany was never, an A student. She always struggled, basically B's and C's and maybe more C's than B's. And but at Pensacola, when she did the internships, she got A's. And she did great. And The teachers that she worked for at the college, they recognized that. So in other words, what I'm saying is this. Sometimes a someone in that field may have credentials with regards to they were an honor roll student going through college, but when it came to actually the practical aspect of teaching children in the classroom, they were a complete flop. And so that happens in all different things in life. So what I'm trying to say is with regards to who is Solomon? And I just want to take a few minutes to think about him, because we're studying a book on all of these chapters and all of these verses that he wrote. This is what's commonly called wisdom, or the wisdom literature of the Bible. So as far as his credentials go, look on your handout and look what someone said of him. So at this point, in 1 Kings chapter 10, the kingdom of Israel is just growing in leaps and bounds, and God is blessing in a great way. And so news of this is spreading throughout the world. And so the Bible says, and when the queen of Sheba, the preceding verses, she had traveled to see what was taking place here in Israel. So when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of the acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." It's more, she said, than I ever believed it possibly could be. And so as she would travel back to where she had come from, she would convey that to people. So in other words, those became the credentials of the wisdom of Solomon. Others had heard of his great, great wisdom. So look now at Proverbs, where we started. The Proverbs of Solomon. This is who we're talking about. To know wisdom and instruction, verse 2. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. Two key words there, both in verse 2 and in verse 3. The words to know and the words to receive. To know and to receive. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But it's one thing to know something. It's another thing to really receive it. But first, before we even get there, where did Solomon, what's the source of Solomon's wisdom? Did he go to the best Bible college of the day? Well, no, not really. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. So where did he get his wisdom from? Well, I think most of us know he got his wisdom from God. But let's just be reminded about this great writer of all of these Proverbs, how it all took place. So in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, the Bible says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Wow, let's just stop there. That would be something, huh? If God appeared to you and said, "Well, you go ahead and ask whatever it is that you want, I'll give you." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." Let me just stop there. So what do we see in Solomon here? We certainly don't see pride. We see there's real humility here. That he doesn't have all the answers. That he needs help. That he did recognize the blessings of God in his father's life. He recognizes the responsibility that he has. And he needs help. And he says in verse 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who's able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon had that he had asked this thing. Well, yeah, of course. But by the way, whether you're King Solomon or whether it is whoever you are, listen, the reality is that all of us, we have the opportunity to influence people around us. Amen? So what we need to do is ask the Lord for wisdom, guidance, and understanding to do that. The whole book of Proverbs is wisdom that God has given for daily living. So he did that. We recognize that's the source. And then right away, it was tested in chapter 3 and verse 16. And I think you're familiar with this account, but it says, there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. The one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead, but I had considered it in the morning. Behold, it was not my son which I did bear. Oh, the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. This said, no, but the dead... And so you understand what's happened here. She switched the children. And now they come to Solomon, and Solomon has to decide, whose child is this? And right away, God gives Solomon the opportunity to use the wisdom that God had bestowed upon him. Well, in verse 24, the king says, well, bring me a sword. Oh, that must have set off some alarms right there. A sword? What do you need a sword for? And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, let's divide the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other. Well, of course, you know what happened. The true mother said, no, don't do that. No, she would rather have her child alive with the other woman. And then, of course, and then the other woman said, yeah, let's do that. Well, I'm not really sure how much wisdom you really needed in that particular situation. But the idea that he came up with a way to figure it out. And of course, the woman whose child it was, that's whose child she awarded to. The point of all this, as we get into the second part of this Bible study, is God gave him wisdom. And God allowed for Solomon to write down all of these proverbs for you and I to glean that wisdom. Now, I said all this really to get to these three points of this Bible study tonight. Understanding biblical principles, understanding biblical promises, and understanding biblical proverbs. So let me ask you this question. Just think about this for a moment. What's the difference between a biblical proverb and a biblical principle? What's the difference between a biblical proverb and a biblical principle? Can anybody think of anything? What would be a difference? A biblical proverb, I mean, you go back to Proverbs because we're going to be back there, but all these proverbs that are given to us, but there's a difference between the proverbs that the Bible has given us and the principles that the Bible has given us. All right, well, just think of this as I read this off to you. A biblical proverb, are you listening? A biblical proverb is an observation of what happens when a biblical principle is consistently applied. Did you get that? A biblical proverb is an observation of what happens when a biblical principle is consistently applied. In other words, the proverb is a wise statement because it reflects and commends the wisdom of obedience. So here's a very well-known proverb. I'm going to start it. You say it out loud with me because you know it's two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Ready to begin? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. So that's a proverb. Okay? There's a principle that's involved there. There's a principle that's involved. The principle is what? What is the principle? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, let me go backwards. What's the wisdom of the proverb? Not really. If you do such and such a thing, this will be the result. So in that proverb, what's the result? You're right. Exactly. You said it exactly right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In that proverb, there is a principle, but the proverb is dealing with... Huh? No? It's the direction of thy path. The principle part of that verse is you have to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, where's the wisdom found? Then he shall direct thy paths. Okay? The directing of the paths. That's the outcome of the principle. You follow what I'm saying? There are principles that are given in the Bible and principles that are given in Proverbs, but the outcome of them, that's the wisdom of the proverb. So the question, what's the difference between a biblical proverb and a biblical principle? A proverb is the observation of what happens when the biblical principle is consistently applied. The directing of your path. God doesn't just always direct your path. When Solomon wrote those words, he said, if you want God to direct your path, you must trust in him, you must acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You follow what I'm saying? Okay? So, understanding a biblical principle, that's the principle, the directing of the path is the wisdom that's gained from that. Now, understanding a biblical promise. So let me ask you this question. Are Proverbs promises? And just think of what we just talked about. Are Proverbs promises? It could be. That's probably the right answer. What do you mean? Why could it be? Yeah, you're kind of going there. Yeah, go ahead, Jim. It's conditional. It's conditioned on whether you're responsive or whether you're unresponsive. But let me give you an example where sometimes people, Christians, they get disillusioned or they get disappointed. Go to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22:6. A very well-known proverb, especially for parents. I'm still hearing the pages turn, so I'll wait. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that's a proverb that many times Christians cling to that, believing that their son or their daughter, while they may not be walking with the Lord right now, at some point they will walk with the Lord. Okay? But that's not really how a proverb works. Because you could train up a child in the way that they should go, but the child has to be responsive to the training. If the child isn't responsive to the training, I mean, the Lord has made all of us with a free will. And then the child can go and do what he or she wants to do. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, he won't depart from it if he's responsive to it. If he's not responsive to it, or she's not responsive to it. In other words, listen to Proverbs 10:1. A wise son maketh a glad father, But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. The word foolish, by the way, in the book of Proverbs, more times than not, it's not talking about someone who's ignorant or stupid. The word foolish has the idea of being stubborn. So if a child is stubborn, he or she is stubborn and does their own thing, then they become heaviness to their parents. And certainly, they may have trained up a child and done the best that they can, but the child, in and of him or herself, has to be either responsive or unresponsive to the teaching. The Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So, if you have a father that's giving instruction and the son is not applying biblical truths to his life, it doesn't. They've become unresponsive. So the point is, we have to understand biblical principles. We as parents, are we supposed to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Absolutely. But then so doing that, the child also has a responsibility as they grow to be responsive or unresponsive to it. By the way, as a parent, you have a responsibility to do what you can to help your child to be responsive or unresponsive to it. I was reminded of someone not too many years ago, but they don't walk with the Lord any longer. And they got upset because they were watching their parents go through a divorce. And one of the reasons they don't walk with the Lord any longer is because they had fervently and diligently prayed for their parents to get right with God and get back together. So my response to that person would have been, well, you prayed for them. And how do you know whether or not the Holy Spirit was moving on their heart and they just were stubborn and hard-hearted to the Holy Spirit's prayer? So that happens. So we have to, when we're reading through the Proverbs, we have to understand there are principles, and we have to understand biblical promises. The Proverbs aren't always necessarily promises. They are born out when we're obedient to the truths that God has given us. So that brings us to this last point here, understanding biblical proverbs. So, and what is then a biblical proverb? So let me give you this as a definition, if you want to write it down or not. But just listen. A proverb, then, is a statement of wisdom resulting from an observation of truth that's put to work. You get that? A proverb, then, is a statement of wisdom resulting from an observation of truth put to work. It is the observation and practice of a wise individual. So a wise individual, we'll just use Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 again, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So the writer of the Proverbs was trying to teach us that someone who's wise, someone who really seeks after wisdom, they want their paths directed by the Lord. That's only going to happen if they'll trust in him. That's only going to happen if they'll acknowledge him. That's only going to happen if they'll trust with their heart. But if not, do we really expect that God's going to direct our path? And we ought not to. Go in your Bibles to the book of James now. We're going to finish here. Because James, probably of all the New Testament books, James probably is fairly close to what the writer of Proverbs was trying to get across in so many of the Proverbs. James chapter 1. So Solomon, the giver of wisdom, James says this, verse 5, chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So, if we're really humble people, we all recognize the fact that we, at some areas, at some time, at some point, we lack the wisdom that we need to have. Maybe we've come to a decision that we have to make in life. Maybe it has to do with our future, our employment. Maybe it has to do with a purchase. Maybe it has to do with dealing with a relationship. So the Bible tells us that when these types of things come our way, that we need to ask God. We need to go to Him. And really, the same God who, when He asked Solomon, "Solomon, what do you want?" And Solomon said, "I need wisdom." Well, it's the same God. It's the same God that you and I can go to today and say, and God says, "Well, what do you need?" And we say, "God, I need wisdom. I need to figure this. I need your help in figuring all of this out." And James reminds us to do that. But he also reminds us of this. Go down to verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So, in other words, listen. You want the wisdom of God? You want God's wisdom? Well, don't be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Apply all of these principles and all of these promises that God has given to us in His Word, and the result of that is the wisdom that God has for each and every one of us. James chapter 3 goes on and he says this. Look at verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year." That's chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Well, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So James reminds us of the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. The Proverbs, and as you read through the Proverbs, you'll see in all of the Proverbs, there are results that are based upon the very promises and the very principles that God lays out in His Word. But there is no guarantee. God doesn't guarantee those Proverbs to every believer unless you're willing to deal with the principles and the promises and to believe in them by faith. Follow what I'm saying? So I think this is on the bottom of your handout. I think I wrote it for you. I wrote this. "We need to understand that wisdom is the effective implementation of truth, God's Word, to one's daily experience. Hence, then, it's available from God in any circumstance. Any circumstance in life, God's wisdom is available to us as we apply the truth of His Word, the principles of His Word, and we understand the promises of His Word. The results, just read through the Proverbs and you'll see it time and time and time again with regards to what's found there. So our perception for living, all of these truths we can make application to our life, but it's no guarantee unless you're willing to be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only, to make the application and to implement it into your life. Well, that's our Bible study for tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that You'll bless now our prayer time. Let it bring honor and glory to You. Thank You for the privilege that You give us to approach the throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.